Good morning, everyone. Well, as Farmer Pete and as Marion plugged the VBS this morning, I do want to do that as well. I just want to encourage you, if you have not only your own kids, but neighbor children, extended family, friends that have children that would be blessed by coming to VBS. I just want to encourage you to pray about that and be faithful to whatever the Lord leads you to do with that. Thank you. Do you like to be approved by others? Think about that for just a second. Do you like to be approved by others? Some of us might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't have to be approved by others, but just about every one of us likes to be approved by others. We like to be approved in the situations we find ourselves. We want to be approved in our marriages and in our families. We want to be approved in our workplaces and in school. We want to be approved in the situations which we find ourselves. And also, as we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see that our message today focuses on presenting ourselves to God as those approved. We're going to talk about this morning, God's Word is going to talk about what it means to be approved by God. I'm going to look at three things this morning that should reflect us as we are approved by God. We're going to look at these things that are being directed to Timothy, who was a leader in the church. So there's going to be strong application for Christian leaders in today's message, but there's also going to be application for every one of us because we're all ministers and we're all called to witness for Jesus. In your bulletins and what Skeet read this morning included verses 20 and 21. We're not going to cover those this morning. I'm going to cover those in next week's message. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you. What a blessing it's been and continues to be to always be able to worship you, to come with brothers and sisters in Christ and allow our hearts to be knitted together. And whether it's lifting our voices in songs of praise or whether it's praying or whether it's coming together and humbling ourselves before you as your word is proclaimed, or whether it's just living out our faith the way you've called us to, all of those are acts of worship. And we thank you for the blessing of that. Lord, as we worship you now, as your word is proclaimed, as we talked about, as we look at what it means to be approved by you, help us, Lord, just to see and understand according to your will. For each one of us, Lord, we just pray that the message that you have for us, both collectively and individually, we would clearly hear this morning, and then we would take it and live it out in our lives according to your will. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so throughout our letter of 2 Timothy, we've seen Paul, who obviously was an apostle of Jesus Christ, who believes he's going to die. So we have this man writing this letter who thinks that in a relatively short period of time, he's going to be passing from this world. And he's been an apostle for Jesus. He shared the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. And now he's pleading with Timothy, his son in the faith, that he would take the baton of the gospel and he would carry it on. And that he would not only share the gospel, but he would also equip others so that they could share the gospel as well. So the good news message of Jesus Christ would continue to carry on. So on the one hand, we have this letter that's a personal letter written by Paul to his dear friend Timothy. On the other hand, this is God's word written to us who are his. So it applies to us as well. We've seen in this letter that Timothy was to fan into flame the gift of God. He was to continue to share his gift of witnessing for Jesus. And he was able to do that because he's not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love of self-control as he's come to faith in Christ and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the same is true of us. And I've talked about it. We've talked about it in recent weeks. All of us are called to this. And it may look different for every one of us because we have different gifts and talents. We're going to talk about that more today. But every one of us have been called to bear witness for Jesus. and we're being called to do that faithfully. So this letter this morning, this message this morning, is going to cover the same theme throughout this letter of 2 Timothy. We're going to look about what it means to be faithful witness of Jesus, to carry that out in our lives. And we're going to begin with an emphasis that comes in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. So Paul's commanding Timothy to strive to do his best to be approved by God. Again, most all of us want to be approved. We want to be approved. We want to be approved in our families and in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we are. We want that approval. And here we're going to see that we, again, need to be approved by God. And for most of us, you know, it's so important that we be faithful in the situations we find ourselves. Most of us not only want to meet expectations that are given to us, we want to exceed them. We want others around us to value us, to see that we're contributing to whatever situation we're in. And the same is true with God. But what does it mean to be approved by God? We probably could come up with a lot of different answers. The one that I think the Lord laid upon my heart was the story that Jesus gave about the master who went away. Remember the story where the master goes away and he gives talents to his servants. To the one, he gives five. To another one, he gives two. To a third, he gives one talent. And he basically wants those servants to be faithful in making most of this opportunity that they've been given. And the first two are faithful, aren't they? They double the number of talents that were given to them. But the third servant, what did he do with this talent? He buried it, didn't he? He wasted completely the opportunity that the master had given to him to make use of something. And so when the master came back and he found out what happened, he said to that servant, "You wicked, lazy servant." And he commanded that that servant be thrown out of his house. But to the servants who were faithful, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge in many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." So in this story, Jesus is just illustrating that we've been given gifts by God, our master in heaven. And what he wants us to do is be faithful with those gifts that we've been given. And what are some of the gifts? What are gifts that we've been given by God? If we have faith in Jesus Christ, what are gifts that we've received? Go ahead, share some of them. None? Come on. Evangelism. Okay, sharing God's word. Good. What else? What's that? Teaching. Okay, that was supposed to be said. Bang. Teaching. What else? What other gifts have we been given by God? Music. What was that? Believing. Faith. That is a gift. Good. What else? Learning. Okay. What? Service. Love. Mercy. Forgiveness. We've been given the Holy Spirit, Word of God. Each one of us have been given gifts and talents, specific ones that God has given to us. Each of us have experiences. Each of us have wealth and possessions. We've been given by God all kinds of gifts, haven't we? And what he wants from each one of us is to be faithful. So again, do we all have different gifts? A lot of us have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different levels of possessions and wealth. We have, all of us, strengths and weaknesses. We all have different kinds of stuff. But what God wants for us is that we would be faithful in the things that he has given to us. And essentially, that's the bottom line here. Those who are approved by God are those who have trusted in God, placed their faith in God, and are being faithful in the things that God has given to them. That's what's being emphasized here this morning. So, again, Timothy, as well as us, are to do our best. You see, it says there at the beginning of verse 15, do your best. And this really brings out a couple things that I want to kind of punch here a little bit. Do your best. There's an implication here that we have a responsibility in all of this, and so does God. We're to do our best, and God is doing his best in our life. And so it just reminds us that God has empowered us, he's equipped us, he's guiding us, he's directing us, he's given us wisdom and understanding, he's disciplining us, he's working in our life in amazing ways to bring about change in us. And at the same time, Scripture is telling us to do our best. And we see that in other places in the New Testament. It tells us to strive, to abstain from sin, to flee from immorality, to cleanse ourselves, to make every effort, to put off and to put on. In a marriage, there's a husband and wife, and each one of them has roles and responsibilities, but they're to come together to be one, bearing fruitful lives. And Scripture illustrates and uses marriage as an example of our relationship with God. It's God's word says our relationship with Jesus is like a marriage. Because when we place our faith in Jesus, we become one with Jesus. And Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are working in us to bring about all of this change. And we're supposed to strive and work as well. We're to do our part. And so a wise follower of Jesus Christ understands this. God has a part, we have a part. We're to be diligent in our faith. We're to strive for obedience. But at the same time, we're to understand God is the one with the power and the wisdom and the guidance that we need to rely on. And what I just said, if you said that out in the world, they would think you're nuts. How do you do that? You do your part, God does his part. But we know when we come to faith in Jesus and we humble ourselves before the Lord, he shows us how that's supposed to work in our life. He does that for us. So now we're going to see that as we are to be approved by God, we're going to look at three things again that should reflect our life as we do our best in presenting ourselves before God as ones approved. And the first thing that we're going to look at comes in verse 15 as well. Do your best in presenting yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. To no need to be ashamed. Definition of shame. Listen to this. The painful feeling of having done or experienced something dishonorable, improper, or foolish. Shame. The painful feeling of having done or experienced something dishonorable, improper, or foolish. So we can feel shame in our life because of stuff other people do. They can do foolish, dumb things that can bring shame to us. But the focus in this passage is on our behavior. That we can do things, that we can feel shame when we fail to do what God wants us to do, when we sin against him. And that can come as we do things that we're not supposed to do, and it can come as we fail to do what God wants us to do. And every one of us have felt shame, haven't we? And it's not a good feeling, is it? To feel ashamed. There's an example, the first one in Scripture, of shame is with Adam and Eve. As far as we know, they were given one command, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And they ate from it. They disobeyed God. They sinned against God. And immediately they felt shame. And what did that shame feel like in their life? They were embarrassed. They covered themselves up. They hid from God. They were afraid of God. And isn't it that way for us as well? Their sin affected their relationship with God. When we sin against God, it affects our relationship with him also. We feel shame and it impacts our relationship with God. But that's not what God wants for us. God doesn't want us to feel that shame. He wants us to be free of sin. He loves us so much that he provided a way for that He sent his son Jesus to die so that we could be freed of sin and not have to experience this shame. That's how much God loves us. And we see verses in Scripture that speak of this, like John 14:23, Jesus' words, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Jesus is just saying, hey, if you believe in me, you're going to love me. And if you love me, you're going to follow my commands. And you're going to be blessed by that. And we see that as well in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. He created us. He provided a way for us to experience new life through faith in Christ. So we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're called to be faithful. So those who are approved by God are to be living in their life in ways that they're not ashamed. They're being obedient. And it just so happened that I was with several of you this week, and we were talking about some different things. And one of the things that we were talking about is just the peace and blessing that comes when we're faithful. You know, sometimes we want to control results, but that's not up to us. Not at least not from the standpoint we can't control others. But we can be faithful to the things that God calls us to be faithful to. And no matter what the results are, no matter how things turn out, when we are faithful, we experience things like peace and joy and love and many other blessings. So those, again, who are approved by God are those who are not ashamed. The second thing that we see is do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The word of God. That's all it is. Rightly handling this is the second thing that we're looking at this morning of those who are approved of God. When we were in 1 Timothy, a couple different times I shared with you verses that just speak of the blessing or value of God's word. And here are some of those. And just let me run through them quickly. The Ephesians 13 just reminds us that it's the word of God that brings us salvation. Psalm 119, 9 and 11, it's the word of God that allows us to walk in holiness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you've seen many times. It is the word of God that equips us and prepares us for every work that God has for us. Psalm 119:105, it's the word of God that guides us. And Proverbs 35, it's the word of God that protects us from much of the corruption of this world. And these are just a few verses of the many verses in Scripture that make very clear that God's word is so valuable to us. It's priceless. It brings life to us and allows us to live life to the full. It's the word of God that shows us how God created us to live and how we're able to live. It's the word of God that allows that. So the worker of God is to handle rightly this priceless gift. We're to handle rightly this priceless gift that we've been given by God. This word handle is a unique word in the Greek. It's very unique. It means to cut or make straight. And we do live in a sinful, fallen world. We know that. We experience that every day. And part of our sinful, fallen world is we got all kinds of opinions out there about things. We have a lot of different views from people about literally everything. We have different opinion on what's true and right and best. We have different opinions on the way people should live their life. We have different opinions about whether God exists or doesn't exist. We have different opinions on if God does exist, how do you get right with God? Different opinions on how you get to heaven. Different opinions on things like how we treat others, different opinions on sexual orientation, finances, health care, different opinions on what happens to us when we die, different opinions on just about every topic you can think of. And so we live in a world where everybody, so many different people are saying, this is the way that should be taken. in this situation. And you think about it for a moment, it's chaotic, isn't it? It's just a mess. But for those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, we've been given a straight road in the midst of the chaos. God's word. And all we have to do is follow it. Just simply do what it says. And isn't, again, that amazing, an amazing blessing in our life? We don't have to figure all the mess out. We don't have to try to determine where we stand in all this mess. All we have to do is just, God's word says this. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's all we have to do. That's what God's word says. Rather than trying to stand on the varying and constantly shifting opinions of those around us. You know, think about in your own life, my life, before we came to faith in Christ. Where did we land on things? Were you all over the place as well with things? Were a lot of your opinions and beliefs far from the Word of God? Mine was. We lived part of that chaos. We don't have to, because God gives us the opportunity of handling rightly His Word, just being faithful with it. In many places, Christianity and the Word of God is obviously being seen as outdated or irrelevant or just outright false. I mean, all you got to do is turn the news on. Every day there's attacks against this. And there's even some who have some respect for the Word of God, but still aren't aligning their lives with it. There are many who even claim to be Christians today who, rather than starting with this as God's Word, they're starting with what they believe. They're starting with their own opinions and views, and then they take this and they try to bend it to fit what they want. We can be tempted to do that, but we see people all around us doing that today, trying to bend God's word to fit their beliefs and opinions. But what has God called us to do? God has said, this is my word. And I want it to be the authority for your life. So I want you to take your crooked life and bend it to my word. That's what we've been called to do. To allow the word of God to be the starting point for us. That we would align our lives with this. Rather than in our own opinions or anybody else's opinions or belief. That we would just be faithful. We also live in a world where there are many church leaders who are not handling rightly the Word of God. The Word of God is not being proclaimed faithfully in many churches today. Some of that is because those men proclaiming it don't know the Word of God, and they're not living it out in their lives. Other situations, they may know the Word of God, but they're afraid to proclaim it. They're afraid to offend people. They're afraid of somebody might leave or take offense again in what they're saying. They're the kind of teacher that teach what they think other people want to hear rather than proclaiming the truth. And again, today's passage is being written by Paul to Timothy, who was a leader in the church, so there's a lot of application for us who are leaders in the church. And by God's grace and with His help, we have been and we remain committed to sharing the Word of God, striving not to add to it or take away from it. And we're not perfect, but that is our strive. That is what we're attempting to do, to be faithful. We're attempting to handle rightly God's Word. There's also application again for every one of us here today. Because once again, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, God's word makes very clear, every one of us are ministers. And every one of us have been called to bear witness for Jesus. So every one of us has a responsibility to rightly handle the word of truth. And we're to do that all the time. We're to do that in each other's lives. We're to speak the truth in love to one another. We're to hold each other accountable. We have to do that according to the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you have children, you have been called to share the Word of God with your children. You're called to handle rightly the Word of truth. So this applies to every one of us, and not just each other, not just our children, but for everyone we encounter, whether that's a neighbor or a friend or a family member, everyone that we come across where we have opportunity to point them to Jesus and to His truth. It's an opportunity to rightly handle the Word of truth. And those who are approved of God strive to do this faithfully. The third and final thing that is to reflect those who are approved by God is, but avoid irreverent babble. This is similar to what we've seen in 1 Timothy. Irreverent babble could also be translated as godless chatter or foolish talk. We've seen in the previous letter that we've looked at, 1 Timothy, Paul had encouraged Timothy to avoid meaningless talk, godly myths and wise tales, words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk, evil suspicions. So irreverent babble is essentially anything that is proclaimed as truth when it's not. Let me give you some examples. The prosperity gospel is one of those. Probably many of you have heard that term. Some of you probably don't know what it really means, but it's essentially those who say, if you give your wealth to God, He will give you greater wealth in return. Irreverent babble. It's irreverent babble when somebody proclaims that you have to be a good person in order to be right with God. It's irreverent babble when somebody claims that you become right with God through something other than faith in Jesus Christ, or something, faith in Jesus plus something else. That's irreverent babble. When you hear these predictions on the news of when the world's going to end, it's irreverent babble. Jesus didn't even know when that was going to occur, when He would come back again. And as we talked about earlier, the personal opinions of others, as well as our own personal opinions when it comes to the things of God, are irreverent babble. So I want to encourage us and caution us. When we begin to say, I believe, or it's my opinion, there should immediately be a flag go off in our mind. Because if what we are about to say, God's word speaks to, there should be a flag saying, in what I am about to say, does it align with the Word of God? And if we don't know, we should zip it. And if we do know that it aligns with the Word of God, then we should change what we said. We should say, God's Word says such and such. So may we be careful with our own opinions that we state to others. If God's word speaks to it, may our talk also be rooted in that. We're to avoid irreverent babble in the words that we speak, but also in the words that we listen to. Anything that we take into our body is going to affect us. Physically, if we take in food that's nothing but junk food, we feel the effects of that, don't we? The same is true of things that we watch on TV or look at on the internet. If it's nothing but junk, it's going to affect our hearts. It's going to affect our lives. The same is true as what we listen to. And we have to be very careful with this because there's a lot of things today that are labeled Christian that are irreverent babble. There are preachers on TV and in other places where maybe 90% of what they say aligns with the Word of God, but 10% is completely opposed to it. They're irreverent babble, and they're dangerous. And that's what we're going to see in the continuing in this passage. For those who speak irreverent value, it says, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And that's just essentially saying the more irreverent babble you take in, the more opinions of man you take in, the further from God you're going to be. And it continues that for those that did that, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Those who speak irreverent babble will infect the lives of others, and it will affect them like gangrene. Gangrene, are you familiar with gangrene? Most of us are. It's an infection in the body. It's caused when the blood flow is cut off to a certain portion of the body. And essentially, that portion of the body becomes dead. And unless that is cut off, it will just continue to spread. And that's what was happening in the church at that time. False teachers were sharing false things, irreverent babble, and it was infecting the church. Two men are mentioned. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul singles out, he names names of those who were false teachers, who were proclaiming irreverent babble, who were negatively affecting believers, and their words were spreading like gangrene. Philetus is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. Hymenaeus was mentioned in 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, he had handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So Hymenaeus was already disciplined by Paul, and yet he had not repented. He was continuing in his sinful ways. It says here that these men had swerved from the truth. The word swerved in Greek is an archery term. It means to miss the mark. So as followers of Jesus Christ were to live and proclaim the truth, were to hit the mark, these men were not hitting the mark. They were failing to teach the truth. Their words were irreverent babble, and they were not approved by God. One of the things that they were sharing, that the resurrection had already happened. And it's not clear what's meant by this. It could be that at that time, some people believed that the body was an evil thing, that this physical body was nothing but evil. So when you died, physical body just went in the grave, decayed, your soul went up to heaven, never to be joined together with your physical body again. If that's what they were teaching, or whatever they were teaching, it was opposed to the Word of God. And again, it was an irreverent babble. And so we have these situations where this stuff is happening, and it's awful. And it's still happening today, where things are being shared, even from pulpits, that is irreverent babble, and it's causing people to be sick. It's impacting their lives. And that's an awful thing, but it's not something that's without hope. And that's what the final verse that we're going to look at this morning reminds us of. We see in verse 19, but God's firm foundation stands bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So, again, we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become part of the church. We're built upon the foundation. I've shared this verse a number of times recently. When we come to faith in Jesus, we're fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So we have faith in Jesus, we're part of the church. And it's shown as an illustration in the Bible as a building. And the foundation is Jesus as the cornerstone. The additional foundation are the apostles and prophets, but it's more emphasized on the gospel message that they're sharing. And when we come to faith in Christ, we're built upon that. So we become part of the church. The point in this passage here is when that happens, we're labeled. There's a stamp on us. And it's the stamp that the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So when manufacturing parts are made, whether it's at Crown or Capped or other places, those parts are made, then they're often inspected, and sometimes after they're inspected, they're labeled. They could be labeled with a stamp, or they could be something could be attached to them that shows these parts have passed inspection. And that's essentially what happens to us who have faith in Jesus Christ. We're part of the church, and the church and us are stamped with these verses. But what do these verses mean? The Lord knows those who are His. This comes from Numbers 16:5. And if you look in that passage, you'll see that Moses was in charge of Israel at that time. And some of the Levite leaders, if you remember, the Levites were assigned to do the ministry for the Israelites, to kind of be God's representatives to the Israelite people. So some of the Levites came to Moses and essentially said, "Hey, we've been chosen by God too. It's not just you, it's us too. And the people shouldn't have to just listen to you, they should listen to us too." And Moses' response in part was, "The Lord knows who are His." It was a warning that Moses had given to these leaders. "You guys better be careful. You're not God. He knows who are His." And these men didn't heed that warning, and God destroyed them. So part of the seal that stamps the church is God knows who are His. He knows the heart of everyone, and He knows whether our faith in Him is genuine or not. So that's part of the reminder. The other half of it, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And this just ties back to what we've said many times. When we come to faith in Jesus, there's a heart change that takes place. And that leads to other changes in our life, right? Our attitudes, our thinking, our words, our action, it all begins to change. And so, if there is no changed life, it means there is no changed heart. And if there is no changed heart, there is no genuine faith in Jesus. So this verse is just saying to us that those who claim to be Christians, it's saying, let your changed life be your evidence that you belong to Christ and to His church. You've been stamped. Now, I want to be careful because, again, some of us, if we've had a bad week or something, we might be thinking right now, I don't know. I want to encourage you to think back to the time you came to faith in Christ until today. There should be change in your life. That change is going to look like this over time. There's going to be moments of good growth and there's going to be moments of slipping. But over time, there's going to be an upward trend in our faithfulness to the Lord, our obedience to Him. And God's word is just saying, if you've got that, that's God's stamp of approval on your life, that your faith is in Him. And we can take encouragement in that. No matter what others might be saying, no matter what false teachers may be out there, no matter what irreverent babble you might be exposed to, if you're God's, you're His. And there's nothing that can separate us from God once we are His. That's the point here. So, if we, again, have faith in Jesus, we are stamped, we have two seals on us, and it assures us that we are God's. So again, this morning, we've been reminded to do our best to present ourselves to God as ones who have been approved, workers who had no need to be ashamed, those that are living life, striving to be faithful, rightly handling the word of truth. In the midst of the chaos that's around us, we're just continuing to follow the course of truth that God's laid out for us, not adding to it, not taking away from it, and then finally avoiding irreverent babble, staying away from both in our speech and what we listen to, things that are in opposition to the Word of God. Again, I just want to close. Every one of us who have faith in Christ, we are ministers of God. And we have been called to be His witnesses. that will look different for us all. But let's be faithful to what the Lord has for each one of us. Father, we thank you and praise you. You're so good to us, Lord. You've given us so many gifts, Lord. And Lord, you're so patient with us as well. I so often think of the words that you're a loving Father who wants to give good gifts to his children. And I thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Even though we're often undeserving, even though we often fail, you remain faithful. You remain kind and generous, gracious and loving. We thank you for that, Lord. May you just continue to help us grow, and may we continue to be doing our part and doing our best to be faithful, combining with your work, Lord, that we may grow more and more in our faith and that we might magnify and glorify you in even greater ways. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.